chapter 3, text 12, page 175. Chant the Sanskrit together. Ishtan bhogan hi bho deva dasyante yagya bhavita taya dattana pradayaibhyo yobhum te stena eva saha. Translation together. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yagya, sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods is certainly a thief. Text 13. Yagyashishtasana santo muchante sarva kirubishai unjate te trigam papa e pachantyatma karana. Translation. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Next 4. Nad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anasambhava yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhava. Translation. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, sacrifice, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. Text 15. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat saravagatam brahma nityam yagye pratishtitam. Translation. Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. Text 16. Evam pravartitam chakram nanuvarta yatiha yaha agayur indriyaramo Ogam Partha Sijivati. Translation. My dear Arjuna, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. Text 17. Yastvatma retirevasyat Atma triptas chamanavaha, atman yeva chasantushtas, tasya karyam na vidyate. Translation. But for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. Text 18. Naiva tasya kritena arto na kritena hakaschana na chasya sarva bhuteshu kaschid arta vyapashaya. Translation. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. Text 19. Tasmat asakta satatam kayam karma samachara asakto hyacharan karma paramapnoti purushaha. Translation. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty, for by working without attachment, one attains the supreme. Text 20. Karma naiva hi samsidhim astita janakadayaha lokasangraham evapi sampashyan kartumarhasi. Translation. Kings such as Janaka attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. Text 21. Yadyada charati sheshtas tatare vetaro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanuvartate. Translation. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. And finally, text 22. Name partasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam varta eva cha karmani. Translation. O son of Pita, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. Going back to text 12.
In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Purport. The demigods are authorized supplying agents on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yajnas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yajnas prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what the Personality of Godhead is, sacrifice to the demigods is recommended. According to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yajnas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely, according to different qualities. For example, the meat-eaters are recommended to worship the goddess Kali, the ghastly form of material nature, and before the goddess, the sacrifice of animals is recommended. But for those who are in the mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. But ultimately, all yajnas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least five yajnas, known as Pancha Maha Yajna, are necessary. One should know, however, that all the necessities of life that the human society requires are supplied by the demigod agents of the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture anything. Take, for example, all the eatables of human society. These eatables include grains, fruit, vegetables, milk, sugar, etc. For the persons in the mode of goodness, and also eatables for the non-vegetarians, like meats, some of which can be manufactured by men, none of which can be manufactured by men. Then again, take for example heat, light, water, air, etc., which are also necessities of life. None of them can be manufactured by the human society without the Supreme Lord. There can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, breeze, etc., without which no one can live. Obviously, our life is dependent on supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord, with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. This aim of life is attained by performance of yajna. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves, and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy because they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajnas. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yajna, namely the Sankirtan yajna, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness.
So the demigods are compared to the limbs, the arms of the Lord. So when someone offers something to another person. He offers it to the hands of the other person. But the offering is not actually meant for the hands. It's meant for the person, not just for the hands. If the hands take the offering and they don't let go, then there's something wrong with the hands. Not supposed to do that. They must give it to the whole or to the person. In the same way, the demigods are the arms. So when sacrifices are performed to please the demigods, it's actually meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In another place, Krishna says, those who offer sacrifices to the demigods, they do so without complete knowledge. They don't understand that actually it's coming to me. Things that are offered to the demigods go to the Lord. But it's not the ideal way to offer to the government. It's authorized for those who are less advanced, for the neophytes. They are advised to offer their sacrifices to the demigods. And this way, Vishnu will be worshipped. And gradually the sacrificer will begin to relate to Vishnu. Yajnavai Vishnu. All the sacrifices are meant to please Vishnu. So the demigods are good agents. They're like the cabinet members of the Supreme President, Krishna. One would think that if I give some service or make some gift to a minister of the cabinet, of, let's say, the government, I wouldn't expect him to misappropriate it. I would expect that he will use it properly for the government's benefit. So in the same way, offering to the demigods in this way is acceptable. One makes advancement. But if one thinks that I will offer to the demigods and get some enjoyment that I'm not supposed to get, I'll bribe him to get some gain that I'm not supposed to get, that's not proper. See, so there's two different ways to approach the demigods. If one Now, what about, so the question is, what if, oh, scorch. He's getting scorched. Oh. So, if one asks the demigods, say he worships Uma to get a beautiful wife, so Uma will arrange that. Now, is it right or is it wrong? Depends. What is the goal of life? If the goal of life is sense gratification, then it's right. And he did the right thing. Because he got a beautiful wife. But if the goal of life is self-realization, getting out of the material world, then he may not have done the right thing because now he's going to become more attached to that beautiful wife. And it'll be very hard for him to become detached. Srila Prabhupada's, when he was married, he was not inclined towards this wife. So Prabhupada requested his father if he could marry a second wife, one that he preferred more. And his father advised him, "No, son, better to stay with this wife that you're not so attached to. Ultimately, it'll be a blessing for you. It'll be easier for you to give up." And it turned out to be the case that Prabhupada had to leave family life at the age, I think, 58 or something like that. He took vanaprastha officially. And so his father's words of wisdom, they were helpful. So, once Prabhupada was asked, which is better, a religion where they just say worship God and they don't believe in the demigods, or the Vedic culture where they say worship demigods? Prabhupada said the Vedic culture is better for them. Even though they're worshiping demigods, but they're in the Vedic culture, so they're connected with Vishnu more directly. Whereas those in other traditions, they may even reject Vishnu altogether. They say, what is this four-handed? I don't. This is the devil. They may even say it's the devil. So they're very unfortunate that they cannot even recognize the Supreme Lord who they claim that they're always praying to. Oh God, give us this day. And then when they see Vishnu or Krishna, they say, oh, this is... So... Vedic culture is so scientific. One who's in the Vedic culture, who's trying to follow, he will make advancement. Problem is that he needs a guide, because the Vedic knowledge is so vast. It's like going into a big pharmacy and you go in the back room. And all you see is, you know, these medicines with all these very long names, which you don't know what they mean. You cannot just go there and say, well, this one's green, I like green, I'll take this one. This one's orange, I like orange, I'll take that one. That's a big one. It's too big, I'll take this little one. This one looks like it's covered with sugar coating, I'll take... No, you cannot go like that and take pills. It has to be prescribed by someone who knows. Similarly, we cannot just go into the Vedas and take the parts we like. Oh, I like this part here. This worshipping Uma for getting a beautiful wife. This is good. Now this Brahmacharya, oh, this is not good. This part over here, eating part, it's good. I like it. This part over here, this is called Ardhika Kurunyai, the logic of half a hen. One cuts off the head of the hen because it's eating too much food. And he thinks I'll keep the bottom part, gives eggs, which is of some value. Head is costing me money, cut it. So we cannot understand Vedic literature that way. We have to have a guide, and the guide will... He'll teach us tapasa, brahmacharya, jaina, samena cha, dhamena cha. Yamena niyam, yamena niyamena va. So, there's some austerities required. Tapasa, austerities, brahmacharya, jaina, samena, dhamena, controlling the senses, controlling the mind. This is spiritual life. It's not simply indulging in sense gratification. One of my godbrothers once said, as a general guideline, he said, if it feels good, watch out. Because there's a saying, if it feels good, do it. That's the kind of mood of modern society. Just whatever feels good, do that. Don't even restrict yourself, just do it. Don't think about scriptures, religion, right, wrong, consequences, just do it. Be spontaneous. But so the devotee was saying, if it feels good, you know, watch out. Because that could be Maya. There's a good chance that this is Maya who is telling you, just relax and enjoy yourself. And we like that. Oh, relax, enjoy myself. Enjoy my senses. Because this is the whole material illusion that I can enjoy myself here. So Maya, she's very good at telling us that. You need to enjoy yourself. You need to eat this nice food. You need a nice woman. There was a slideshow they did, or kind of a little video on a fish, was it? It was called the fish. So there was a fish, and he left the water, he left the sea, and then he met Maya. And so Maya introduced him to so many of her friends, and he became completely bewildered and entangled. So when we leave the shelter of the protection of this Supreme Lord, and we come into the material world, we are like fish straying out of the water. And then Maya, she receives us and introduces us to all of her friends. Lust and anger and greed and hatred, all these things. Envy. Any questions?
To this day too, in India, there is some form of, or there is to some extent, demigod worship still goes on. But if we see in the European countries and American countries, practically there is no demigod worship. But still we see that India is a poor third world country, but whereas the European countries and America are like the rich first world countries. So even though there are no sacrifices or offerings or worship being done to demigods, and in India there is some, at least in some form it is going on, still why there is this disparity?
Thieves may flourish for some time, but that doesn't mean that thievery is a good occupation. If you go to some successful thieves, you may see they're living in a big house, and they have a nice car, and they're just, you know, enjoying themselves. But what they don't know is that if the police have the whole place surrounded, you know, they're just watching, they're waiting for a couple of days till the other party comes back, and then they arrest them all and throw them in jail, and that's the end of their big, all their wealth, their nice car. How many people like that are in prison now? Many. They're serving, you know, life sentences. But for a while, it seemed as though they were, they couldn't be caught. It seemed as though they were successful. They got away with it. They got caught. So, these civilizations, they're stealing. They're committing so many mistakes. Nunam pramatakuru tevi karma. They're engaging in vikarma, acts that should not be performed. Why? Because pramata. Pra means intensive. And mata means intoxicated. Pramata. They're extremely intoxicated. Nunam pramatakuru tevi karma. And they do any thing they shouldn't do for sense gratification. Yadindiya pritaya apranoti. Sarumanye yata atmano yam asanapi kleshita asadeya. They shouldn't do it. They'll be punished, but it may take a little time. Duryodhana also appeared to flourish for 13 years. But his day came to an end. Now, if anyone had gone to see during the middle of that 13-year period, he would have considered that crime pays. You look at Duryodhana. He was sitting on the throne. He had Bhishma and Drona serving him, protecting. He was living in opulence. The Pandavas were in exile, running around, being chased in the jungles and the forest. And he was enjoying. So at that time, it appeared as though he was the winner. He had done the right thing. But no. It was all taken away. Now, the devotee, on the other hand, he may be in a poverty condition or he may be in a rich position, but you cannot judge his advancement simply by material articles. The six Goswamis, they were billionaires. They had boats of gold. How much is a boat of gold worth? Billions. They were the most wealthy people in the country. There was nobody more wealthy than them. They gave it all up. Chakva turna mashesha mandalapati shainim sada tuchivat. Budva dina ganesha kov karunaya kopina kantashito. And they simply wore loincloth. But were they poverty stricken? Who was more fortunate, them or the materialistic? Materialistic persons, they may be enjoying temporarily. There's a sage. He gave different blessings. So he blessed the son of a king, Rajaputra. Chiranjiva, you should live a long time. Because when you die, you're going to hell. Better live a long time and enjoy yourself. So that's what we wish all these civilizations, well, enjoy it while it lasts, because when it's over, you're going to go to hell for all these sins you're committing. How many cows you're killing, how many babies you're killing. You're breaking all the principles. You're disregarding all the scriptural injunctions. So what's your future? It's not very bright. But for a devotee, he says, Jivava Marava. It doesn't matter whether you live or die or how you live. His position is so exalted. He's always in the transcendental world. The six Goswamis were associating with Krishna. Hey Rad, hey Vrajadevi, hey Chalalite, hey Nanda Sunakuta. They're always in the mood of Vrindavan. To live in Vrindavan is far more opulent than to live in Beverly Hills. We're thinking Beverly Hills is, you know, the most opulent place. But what are the houses made out of? Some bricks. Ordinary bricks. It's nothing special. But in Vrindavan, they're made of Chintamani. Prakara Sadmasu. Touchstones. Eternal jewels. Spiritual gems. So it's a question of vision. Who's more opulent? Let's say a man he's in a very aristocratic hospital, the finest hospital. He's lying in the most expensive bed, but he's got tubes coming in and out of his nose, and he's got artificial liver. Now, who's more fortunate? He says, well, look how nice it is. He's in such an opulent bed. He's getting such expensive medicine. So is that an opulence? Is it an opulence to be in the most expensive hospital? No, it means you're sick. You're the most sick. You've got the greatest diseases and you're suffering the most. Someone else, you may not have. So, actually for spiritual life, material opulence is not recommended. It's better to live very simply. So it's not actually beneficial. Not actually. Even Jesus says, or the Bible says, it's more difficult for a wealthy man to enter into the kingdom of God than it is to put a camel through the eye of a needle. Being wealthy is a detriment. Unless one is trained in how to utilize everything for Krishna and not become intoxicated by his heart or by his wealth. If he knows how to utilize it for Krishna, then it's okay. Then he can get if Krishna wants. Does that answer your question? Okay. Other questions? Okay, next text.
The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Purport. The devotees of the Supreme Lord, of the persons who are in Krishna consciousness, are called santas, and they are always in love with the Lord, as it is described in the Brahma Samhita 5.38, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Velochanena Santas Adaiva Hridayeshu Velokayanti. The santas, being always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the giver of all pleasures, or Mukunda, the giver of liberation, or Krishna, the all-attractive person, cannot accept anything without first offering it to the Supreme Person. Therefore, such devotees always perform yajñas in different modes of devotional service, such as shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, archanam, etc. And these performances of yajñas keep them always aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful association in the material world. Others who prepare food for self or sense gratification are not only thieves, but also the eaters of all kinds of sins. How can a person be happy if he is both a thief and sinful? It is not possible. Therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtan Yajna in full Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there can be no peace or happiness in the world.
That's why we're getting trained in this Sankirtan, this chanting process. Our day is primarily chanting. And as we get trained in it, then we become attached to chanting. And we don't, that saves us, as stated in the purport, that saves us from all the bad association. Because the bad association doesn't want to chant. They don't want to glorify the Lord, so we have to stay away from them. And it means that we will gravitate towards those who want to chant and glorify the Lord. This training is so important. Later on, someone may become a grihastha and he may be living somewhere in his own house, nuclear house, they say. But if he's experienced and trained in chanting and sankirtan, well then he'll keep all the chanting programs, all the temple worship, and he won't be able to give that up. But if he does give it up, then you can be sure he will get materialistic association. Because what else will he do? What will he fill it in with? If he's not going to arti, what will he do? Prabhupada said about the grihasthas. They were living in the building in L.A. The president was complaining that they weren't attending programs. So Prabhupada said, if they're not coming to the morning program, they're sleeping. And if they're not coming to the evening program, they're going to the cinema. That's what people do at night. They go to the cinema, television, or movies, or whatever, video. Somehow or other, they want some entertainment. But because their hearts are impure, the type of entertainment they want are sex and violence and nonsense. Just, you know, this frivolity, comedy, criticizing someone. Right? Comedy mostly means you make fun of someone else at their expense. Some frivolity or some nonsense thing. So, in order to protect ourselves from these things, because we're also attached to them, we're generated in this atmosphere, polluted atmosphere. We have an attraction to these things. We have to take the chanting very seriously, the Sankirtan movement. We chant japa, we chant kirtan. Chant all the time. Once you chant kirtaniya sarahari, always chanting all day. Not just only on our beats, but after finishing the rounds, we should be chanting. For cleaning the floor, we should be chanting. Whatever we're doing, driving a taxi. Okay? Any questions?
In the purport, Prabhupada stated that it's an easy process, Krishna consciousness. Could we safely say that it's easier to engage in devotional service than to maintain the status quo?
Status quo, meaning the material world? Easier to maintain Krishna consciousness? Yes. Material. To maintain the status quo, it's stated that it's easier to conquer a kingdom than to just maintain a family. It's so difficult. He may conquer a whole enemy, but then when he comes home, his wife takes charge. So whereas he's not in control anymore because his senses, he's carried away by his senses. And the object of his sense gratification is the woman. So then he has to dance according to her dictates. She says, give me the money. He works hard, he has to give all the money. She takes it and then that's his daily work. He has to give all the money. And then at night, he has to give, in the form of sex, he has to give his blood. So he's being bled day and night. But he's very carefully keeping. This one poet, one Bengali poet, he said that materialistic woman, she's a dakini. Dakini means a witch during the daytime or nighttime, and during the day, because she's sucking his blood, that's what witches do, and during the day, lioness, she's also taking blood in the form of his hard work. So either way, he's being bled. So how is that's not easy if you're being bled day and night. Imagine if you have some tube attached to your neck and they just suck it, it just draws the blood out, you know. You get weaker. You see what happens to these flies when they get caught by the spider? The spider, he digs a little hole in their head and he sucks their blood out. And you know, in the beginning they're still, you know, the animal, the fly is still, he's got some life and he's trying to struggle, and then more blood comes out. Finished. All the blood is sucked out. So if you call that status quo, if that's your idea of a nice type of life, have your blood drained out from your brain. This is status quo life. So yeah, I think it's easier to chant Hare Krishna. It's a lot nicer. I certainly wouldn't go back to the, you know, the brain drain society, status quo. Any other questions? Okay, next verse.
All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties.
This was one of Prabhupada's verses that he liked to quote a lot to show that Krishna consciousness is scientific and it's not religion. Because people would say, what is your religion? And Prabhupada would say, Anad bhavati bhutani parjanyad anasambhava, should grow food grains. Does that sound religious? Is that a religious dogma? No, he says, everyone, living bodies must subsist on food grains. Food grains are produced from rains. Well, okay, that makes sense. Where do rains come from? Rains come from yajna. Now, this they don't know. Scientists don't know how to get rain. They think that rain is something that just they can study the barometric barometer, barometric pressure, and they can tell you that there's a low pressure and there's a high pressure and this air, and they can give you all these technical explanations. But when there's a drought, they can't do anything. Oh, why don't you take some, you know, low pressure air and pump it in? And ultimately, they can give big, big definitions and descriptions, but they're helpless to produce rain. All these deserts, the deserts are also increasing because yajna is decreasing. If the sacrifice goes on, and what is the sacrifice? Prescribed duties. Karma samudbhavaha. So, if they perform their prescribed duties, then there will, that's the yajna. And the prescribed duty for this age, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtanam Praya Yajanti Sumedasa. The sacrifice for this age is basically one, Sankirtan. And those who perform it, they're called, they have good brain substance. Krishna Varnam Tusha Sangopanga Yajyai Sankirtan. Yajantihi sumedasaha. Medasa means brain substance. Sumedasa means good brain substance. Alpamedasa means bad brain substance. So that's the only yajna that's recommended for this age. It's the only one that will work. That's the prescribed duty for this age. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam. Kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. There's no other way but chanting the holy names. No other yajna. Really, the chanting is the sacrifice for this age. In the age before this one, the process was paricharyatmaka to deity worship. Treta in the dvapara paricharyaya. Before that, Treta Yuga, Yajai Makai, the sacrifices. And before that, Jayato, which in Kritaya, in the Krita Yuga, or the Satya Yuga, the process was meditation. But in this age, Tad Hari Kirtanam, chanting the holy name of the Lord. Next text.
Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice.
Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai.
Jai.
Shri Bhagavad Gita as it is ki
jai.
Jai.